This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
When you rode with your grandparents to Charlotte to watch your first ACC tournament?
1970. March 7th, 1970 was the date, and Billy was still a coach at Wake Forest, and Pop-Up Tony and Nana, Lois, we were living in Winston-Salem. The tournament was at the old Chrome Dome, the Charlotte Coliseum, and the first ACC tournament game I ever attended. It was March 7th, 1970. I think I've told this story before. And I was so excited because I was going to go see NC State play South Carolina. And back then, the Gamecocks, oh, that Bobby Crimmins, John Roche, they were great. South Carolina was, oh, they were great.
John Reebok.
Gamecocks were the deal now. They were third in the country. They were undefeated in the ACC that particular year. NC State was good, but not South Carolina. And I was so pumped up as a kid, knowing, man, we're going to drive from Winston-Salem all the way down to Charlotte. I've never been to the ACC
Highway
tournament.
Highway 52.
All that stuff.
And down the barbecue highway.
Yeah, come zipping around the corner. You see the big old Chrome Dome. And but I remember Lois and Tony, God rest their souls, were smoking, and they had the windows rolled up in the old Buick. And I was in the back, coughing up a lung, going, oh, my God, are we going to ever get to Charlotte?
Get to Charlotte?
Oh, my God, are we there yet? No. And the smoke was in the Buick. It looked like a Cheech and Chong vehicle zipping down I-77 to Charlotte. But we got there, and then we saw, and again, that's why I loved watching the tournament documentary, because this was one of the highlighted games. Mm-hmm. Van Wilford ended up being the MVP for NC State. NC State knocked off South Carolina 42-39 in double overtime.
Ed Leftwich.
Yep. And it was a stunner. And I will never, ever forget it. It was the very first ACC tournament game I've ever seen. And every time I bump into Crimmins, I bring that up. He's like, Mark, well, you can't bring that game up. And Crimmins was bummed out. Of course, remember, back in those days, only one went to the tournament. And Roche was injured from earlier in the tournament. And so he was kind of hobbling along in that game. But 42-39, the final. NC State in double overtime, knocking off South Carolina. That was my very first ACC tournament game, March 7th, 1970.
Wow.
Remember it vividly.
How about that? Mine was 9 years later. Greensboro Coliseum.
That was about the time I got all the smoke out of my clothes.
You remember Jim Oshust? You used to run the Coliseum?
Yes.
He told my dad, he said, Woody, would West like to come to the tournament this year? We need some help in the officials' locker room.
That hasn't changed.
I was an official. Yeah. In fact, a couple of years ago, when we were there for the pandemic year, I walked into the area that was the officials' locker room, and I thought I was going to need a hazmat mask. No, I'm kidding. But that's when they brought officials from another league in, because officiating had become such a hotly contested issue that they went out, and I think they brought Pac-12 guys and sent ACC guys there, Pac-8 guys or whatever it was back then. And they brought guys in from the Midwest or West Coast or something to officiate. So I had no idea who they were. And Norval Neve was the supervisor of basketball officials. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I got to sit below the goal at one end of the floor during the semifinals and finals in 1979, almost like a, quote, ball boy at the Coliseum.
You were a ball boy.
I was a ball boy.
Let's cut to the chase. Don't be embarrassed
by
that.
But here's the funny part. My mom had to go to the Four Seasons Mall and buy a pair of white pants because I had to match the rest of the ball boys. I didn't have white pants. And she went and bought a pair of white pants to go with a navy blue golf shirt so I look like the rest of the ball boys. This is in that era. This is you saw James Worthy a moment ago. This, by the way, is highlights of North Carolina and the Titans of the University of Detroit. There's Dave Colescott, by the way, Marion, Indiana getting a jump shot.
What I would give to have some video of you in your white pants as a Greensboro Coliseum ball boy. Sure, how in the world did we miss that on the tournament documentary?
Yeah, well,
it was, you underneath.
Well, we
the
didn't
goal.
Show the 1979 tournament, and for good reason, because I think the ball boy pants were in the celebration video. My dad, God bless him, Carolina wins the tournament. Dudley Bradley's the MVP. He's on Sports.
Oh,
he's on
Dudley
the cover
Bradley.
Of Sports Illustrated the next week, setting one down on the G-Man.
I agree.
It works. Thank you.
Dudley Bradley.
It's only live TV. We're doing great.
Dudley Bradley. As an NC State fan growing up, Dudley Bradley's a cuss word.
Now. So anyway, I run out on the floor. I get in a celebration.
Of course you did.
My dad's like,
ball boy,
what are you doing on the floor? I was shaking hands and slapping back.
Get some autographs?
No, I didn't.
Sweatbands?
No. No, but you know what?
Steal a ball?
Here's the funny part. Black Sunday was the next week. It was all over.
Yeah, there you go.
Black Sunday, by the way, for those of you, that's obviously not in the documentary. No. 1979, Duke and Carolina, who had just played in the ACC championship game, got byes into the second round. Remember, you had byes back in 1979.
Did you get the call for the ball boy in Raleigh?
No, I did not. Obviously not.
Boy, celebration did you in, didn't
celebration
it?
Celebration did
Word
me
was
in.
Out. Yeah. Hey, at West Durham, he's a Carolina guy.
We're not bringing him over here in Raleigh on the tartan floor. Carolina and Duke played on a Sunday afternoon. This is the reason it's called Black Sunday, for those of you who haven't heard this before. So imagine this. Carolina and Duke both got byes as the top two seeds in the East bracket. Okay? They played this unbelievable championship game the week before. They played the 7-0 game 2 weeks before, right? All of a sudden, they're 1-2 seeds. And North Carolina played the noon game on a Saturday, or Sunday rather, at Reynolds Coliseum and lost to Penn, the champions of the Ivy League. Okay? So Duke fans who were pulling for Penn, they're all having a blast thinking they're, you know, they had just gone to the national championship game the year before they lost to Kentucky. So the next game, Duke comes on the floor and they're playing St. John's. St. John's. This is before the Big East was even founded, right? Right around the neighborhood of the Big East.
That's right.
So Duke comes on the floor, plays St. John's. Guess what happens? Duke loses to St. John's. So the two teams in the ACC are gone, like in the span of 4 hours from the NCAA tournament. Now, Penn, who beat Carolina, went on to make the Final Four as the champion of the Ivy League. I still think that's the last Ivy League team to go to the Final Four.
Probably was. That Magic and Larry Bird were pretty good that year.
Yeah, and DePaul was the other team that made the Final Four that year. But the irony of Black Sunday still resonates. Old, longtime ACC fans, that's exactly what that was.
What was more disturbing, Black Sunday or
me in the white pants?
You in the white pants
the
as
white
a ball
pants.
Boy.
That would be
Greensboro
more disturbing.
Coliseum.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not in. I'm not white pants.
Boy, it's a shame we don't have that video. Surely somebody's got that somewhere.
Nobody has that. No, we did. It didn't make the documentary, so it's not there for posterity.
John Dahl didn't find that. Shame on him.
No, he didn't know.
He knows now.
Well, good luck, John. There is a video of the tournament, by the way, but I don't think I'm in it.
You as a ball boy, the Greensboro
Coliseum. I would have taken money to see you, Tony, and Lois arriving in the Chrome Dome parking lot on that Billy Packer Prestige coaching parking.
You know what? That was that's the longest trip in the history of mankind from Winston-Salem to Charlotte. It was in the back of that Buick getting to the Charlotte Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, what a night that was.
Suffice it all to say that those that have followed this tournament or you watch the documentary, for this event to be here for the third time in this city, that was complete out-of-the-box thinking in 70 and 79.
Oh. Well, not even a thought.
Yep.
There's some folks that would agree with that today.
Yeah, you're right.
And there's a lot of old-school ACCers that are like, why are we in Brooklyn?
Well,
a lot of folks saying that.
Next year, Greensboro, 2024, Washington. We'll be back in D.C. for the first time in 8 years. Let's get to this bubble talk here real quick. Nets been updated this morning. We'll show that to you. Joe Lunardi had Notre Dame last four byes, Wake Forest last four in, first four out, Virginia Tech. And Virginia, I think, is now beyond next four out.
Virginia's effort last night buried them. I mean, I think you got to be realistic and think that there's no way in the world the Hoos are getting in. So you put them to the side and let's concentrate on everybody else.
Let's have this Wake Virginia Tech discussion then here in this remaining moments of this segment. Okay, you see where Wake Forest is. You see where Virginia Tech is. Those are net numbers around them.
That's right.
45 and 33. Oh, boy. Now we go blind resume. Always a fun trick for you and me.
Well, it's not hard because you know that the net is 33 for Virginia Tech. So
right.
Team 2 is going to be Virginia Tech.
But one quad one win, two of them for Wake Forest. 148, worst loss. There's not a lot of difference here, is there?
Wes, you know, though, the thing that would make me nervous if I'm Wake Forest is number one, you're not playing.
Right.
Right. You're on the couch watching everybody.
Correct.
Still being able to pad the resume. Number two, the strength of the non-conference was not great.
Yeah.
But you knew that. I mean, you know, Forbes is building something up, and so the non-conference record isn't great. And the early departure in this tournament did not help. And I'll say it again, Wake Forest fans, Virginia Tech fans, you are watching these other tournaments. That's why Indiana coming back yesterday from 17 down in the second half against Michigan, that was a big win.
Yeah,
that was
agree
a
with
big
you.
Win for not only Indiana, but it was a tough loss, really, for everybody else in the ACC that's sitting there on this high wire act on the bubble, because you need Indiana out, right? You need Xavier out. You need these teams. You need SMU to absolutely stink it up. And I mean, so you're watching these other tournaments going, hey, do me a favor. You're just making life miserable for me on Sunday as we wait to hear our name called. Now, the good news for Virginia Tech is, hey, he's still playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a chance tonight to pad the resume with what would be a big time win.
Yeah.
So that's the good news for Virginia Tech. Unfortunately for Wake, you're at the mercy of the gods, and that is a terrible feeling to be on.
Big Ten game is one to watch today, Indiana, Illinois. Texas A&M plays Auburn. Rutgers, Iowa, Oklahoma, Texas Tech.
Yeah, you would love to see Auburn beat A&M by 100. Mm-hmm. You don't want A&M to be sitting there going, hey, we eliminated Florida. Because I like to me, Florida and Virginia yesterday kind of did themselves in. I mean, that A&M-Florida game kind of felt like a loser-leave-town match. So I think that if you're sitting there watching these other games, you know what? A&M, you'd love to see them lose if you're an ACC team. Indiana, I think that win yesterday probably did them good. I think they yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wyoming-Boise State is a tremendous game. The Mountain West Conference has, I think, four teams that are going to get in the tournament. And Oklahoma knocking off Baylor last night. That's the kind of game I'm talking about that you're like, man, come on now. Let Baylor just go ahead and win the Big 12. They're already going to be in. I don't need Oklahoma getting crazy and winning some quality games. So you'll be doing some scoreboard watching if you're around the ACC this weekend. Yeah,
hard to believe you got to pay attention to the stuff going on at Thomas and Mack out in Vegas in the Mountain West. But
you do.
Telling you what, if you're Virginia Tech and Wake Forest, you're going to be interested customers in those games. And for Deacon fans, I'm afraid the sleepless nights might continue.
And if you're Notre Dame, you don't want to see crazy helter-skelter chaos. You don't want to all of a sudden have teams hopping into the tournament that you thought, oh, they got no way that team's going to be in a week ago.
Right.
So, again, it's an interesting time. That's why Selection Sunday is so much fun.
When we come back, a look at the legacy of Mike Krzyzewski with the words of his former players. This is kind of one of those ceremonial goodbyes here in Brooklyn at the ACC tournament, an event he's been incredibly successful with. You'll hear it in the players' words as we continue from Brooklyn on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here in Brooklyn, Coach K will take the court for his final ACC tournament. As much as he will be missed in Kayville and Cameron, this week won't feel the same next year when he's gone.
The Blue Devils under Mike Krzyzewski have taken it.
Because for the last four decades, Coach K and his Blue Devils have been a constant force here, taking home 15 tournament titles. Having already won the ACC regular season this year, if he is once again cutting down nets on Saturday night, Coach K will have accomplished part two of three of a championship curtain call.
Got another shot. He's not done yet, boys and girls.
Yep. Luke Hancock coming up in moments, but this is Mike Krzyzewski's final Atlantic Coast Conference tournament. The finality of this event will only build to the finality of what happens after Sunday when the Blue Devils are in the NCAA basketball tournament. But no time like the present to find former players. And they got us through those championship years with Coach K and the ACC and talk about the moments Coach K provided them to inspire them that helped get the most out of them and their teams.
First of all, it's K-R-Z-Y-Z-E-W-S-K-R. He always knew that every moment was meaningful, every game.
He was as interested in as me, the person, as he was me, the basketball player.
Somebody that is always on your side.
Coach K taught us about being excellent in everything you do.
One of the best things of Coach K is his remarkable talent to bring guys from all different areas and different walks of life and bring them together.
That relentless approach to wake up, you know, attack it again, really helps you become successful in life more so than a game.
His love for just everybody and everything was something that I hold to this day.
One of the first things Coach K asked me wasn't about, here are all the things that I'm going to give you. It was more so Jason, tell me what you want to achieve when you come to Duke. Wait, what? Shouldn't you be selling me on why I should want to come to Duke? It was reverse psychology, right? Now tell me why you want to be a part of my program, Jason. I'll sit back and I'll listen. I'll wait for your answer. I never had somebody flip the script on me that way.
He made me feel like he would listen to what I would say.
He'll ask me, you know, what I see, like what you want to go here. And just to have a guy like that, you know, ask me, you know, what I'm seeing or what I want, that just did so much for my confidence.
I found myself being spoken to like I was a young man.
Hunt will have to do something.
Put the three!
Off the back.
Hunt
the
long!
Hurley's gone there! Duke has done it! Duke has upset UNLV!
Being a part of one of the greatest upsets in college basketball, beating UNLV, and I still remember walking back after that game to media and just both of us saying to each other, wow, did we just do this?
Duke has won its first national championship.
That play that we ran at the end versus Kentucky had been practiced numerous times, so it's no accident that it worked during the game.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
Coach K had us ready for that type of moment.
The Duke of Destiny has won it. College basketball has a repeat champion.
Very subtle ways, Coach K questioned my ability to be a historic Duke player. In film session, we talk about Grant Hill. We talk about Christian Leitner. In very subtle terms, asking me, hey, Battier, can you be that guy? Can you be that guy? And I said, I'm going to be that guy.
The greatest staff meeting that I was ever part of was after we lost to Maryland in 2001. The team was coming in for like a 6 a.m. meeting, and I think we got done at 5. And I can remember sitting in the locker room with the 2001 team and coach busting through the door. And coach looked at all of our guys and said, if you listen to me, we will win the national championship.
That's it. Duke has the championship.
He always found a cause. For me, I had to be angry. He would find little clips, little things that people would say, leave it in my locker. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give him 50 tonight.
Oh, they're talking about this kid, Dan Gazzarich, back at UCLA. He's better than you. Oh, what? Nah. It's a way for coach to get us to play against ourselves. Are you doing everything at a championship level for you? Because if you're doing it at a championship level for you, you're doing it at a championship level for us.
Duke is back atop college basketball's elite. And in a tournament where nothing went according to form, Duke did.
I said, that's five, coach. Like, that's five. St. Alice's fifth ring. And he was like, no, that's one for this team together. And for him to say that, like, right then and there, like, no hesitation, just like, wow, like, this, he's incredible.
Winning championships, there's just kind of like, I'm still a little bit in awe of being around him.
He was my best teacher that I had in college. The phrase that I first heard when I was starting there as a freshman, next play. That simple phrase, what we use in basketball that he taught, of going from one thing to the next, from whether it's good or bad, can we move instinctively right away to the next thing?
A lot of the principles that he taught me on the court were principles that were applicable to me in my life when I've gone through real adversity. So when I'm around him, I do less talking and I do more listening.
Good stuff right there.
No doubt. And we're going to miss him. I mean, the tournament is not going to be the same without Coach K prowling on the sidelines. But we got a chance to see him at least one more time tonight. Who knows? Get him for a championship game if the Duke is able to figure this thing out tonight against Miami.
Last 23 years, Duke has won the event 12 times, 14 trips to the finals, 51-10 is Mike Krzyzewski in the last 23 years. That's just the last 23 years. You roll it all up, you get the stuff from the 80s and late 90s. From 99 on is where you see the real damage has been done, the 12 titles, the 14 final appearances.
And it's kind of a, you know, between Dean Smith, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, and they've been other great coaches, obviously, in this league. But as far as the duration and the excellence and the consistency of always being that standard, they don't win it every year. But, man, they would normally have a chance to stick their nose in your business to figure out who is going to win it. We've been spoiled, quite frankly, as fans, as basketball fans, to watch this guy work. Because he makes it look easy, and we know it's not.
Luke Hancock has finished his game day shoot-around right down here on the Barclays floor. I saw him hit six in a row. That's all I'm saying.
I tell you, in the 8 minutes that he was out on the floor, he made more shots than Virginia did last night.
That's exactly. That is true. And when we come back, we'll talk to Luke Hancock, get his thoughts on the first, 3 days of this event. We get ready for the two semifinals tonight as we continue. Miami and Duke. At 7, followed by Carolina and Virginia Tech tonight here in the semifinals of the New York Life ACC tournament. So when we come back, the latest on this event from Hancock and more as we roll on from Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Canes and Blue Devils played once in the regular season. Miami a winner. Carolina won 2 from Virginia Tech. Check out the matchups tonight with Luke next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, the old Statue of Liberty. Oh, yeah. Can't come to New York City without checking out Miss Liberty out there, rocking and rolling.
There you go.
Thing.
Yeah. Halfway home on a Friday on our road trip show, huh?
Just got here.
I know.
And then we're leaving.
And we're out of here. In and out. That's the way we're doing this. Look who's here. MOPs. Let's get the MOP up here, right?
I saw you out there. She still
Come
got
on,
the stroke,
you still got man. It, don't you, Hancock?
You know, I said something the other day, getting out of these chairs, I thought I pulled a muscle when getting out of here late night, but if all I have to do is stand still and shoot, I can do that. I can still do that.
Don't have to move off the dribble. Yeah. Don't have to make any, you know, nothing too athletic.
I don't have to go past anybody, and then I don't have to guard anybody on the other end, and I can do it.
For a guy that is a great shooter, is that painful to watch Virginia last night? Seriously, as a scorer. I mean, come on.
Let's be honest.
It's tough. You know, you appreciate their style of basketball because it wins games. But when your offense isn't flowing and it kind of looks like that, they're going against some guys that are just long, athletic, and kind of locked in on the defensive end the way Carolina was. It's rough at times. You know, that offense wasn't as smooth as we've seen it in the past.
All right. You saw all this stuff yesterday play out. Who was the most impressive team yesterday to advance to tonight?
I got to say Virginia Tech. I thought that they had two battles. Mm-hmm. I thought that they had guys that made shots. They've got a whole complete game. Yeah. You know, Keve Aluma and Justin Mutz hold it down inside. Storm Murphy's averaging like 7.5 points a game. So far, 15.5. Darius Maddox coming off the bench with the big buzzer beater. And then some of those other guys like Hunter Couture and Sean Pajula and Naheem Aleem. You haven't seen a great game from them, but it's as a team effort, it's been pretty complete.
I said at the top of the show, I thought that Virginia Tech guarded last night. I thought they got up into Notre Dame on the perimeter, made the catches tough, made the shots tougher. Yep. Are we undervaluing what they are defensively, Luke?
Which part of the season are we talking?
Right now.
Right, because the first 20 games, they're 10-10. The last 13 games, they're 11-13, tied for best in the ACC. And what I think is the difference is they're locking in on the defensive end. They're sticking to the scouting report. Notre Dame, to me, early on in that game, just shot too many jump shots. And we know they can shoot. We know they can pass. Right. But once they decided, hey, we're going to get some more paint touches, Prentice Hubb in particular really started to get in the teeth of the defense. Their offense started to get better shots. They got better looks, and they scored some more points. I think Virginia Tech down the stretch has shown you they don't just have to hit threes to win games. And early on, they got kind of pushed around in some games. And I think they kind of said, hey, if we're not making shots, then we're going to struggle. And late in the season, they kind of locked in.
Luke, the old adage, which I don't believe, by the way, it's hard to beat a good team three times.
Yeah.
You buying that? I mean, North Carolina's beat the Hokies twice, all right? I've always thought, call me crazy, if I've beaten you twice, I like the chance I'm going to beat you a third time.
Yeah, you know, I thought that until my senior year. We beat UConn three times by about 30 points on average, and then they went and won a national championship. So I threw that one out the window as well.
I
think you do get great looks at teams like that, but when they're close games, they're competitive games, anything can happen, and especially in the tournament atmosphere. And when you're, you know, a seed that's not the one or the two, I think you have more pressure on as those high seeds, especially when you get, you know, into the quarters, the semis, and then the championship game. So if you can go in there with some confidence and play loose, you got a great chance of winning.
Is styles make fights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something about Carolina, Virginia Tech, and we're going to get to Miami Duke because I do think their styles make fights in that deal. But I saw the game in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech, what, 4 of 16 or 4 of 20-something shooting threes, just didn't hit threes in their own building.
Yep.
Carolina kind of was able to drive the issue inside with Bacot a little bit. Is that Mike Young's job one tonight? Slow down Bacot, who, again, was pretty good here last night, especially at the start?
You know, I'm very thankful that Virginia Tech has turned it on because, you know, I was one of those guys that picked them very high in the preseason. And about halfway through, I'm like, these guys are trying to kill me. You know, they're making me look like an idiot.
In Syracuse?
Same thing. But I was with you with the Hokies. I thought that was a top third team in this league. And now they're playing like it.
And now they look like it. You know, I think you saw a great game from Carolina because Armando Bacot can dominate one-on-one, basically anyone in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1-2 punch with him and Brady Manick, it just creates so much space down there, and they're playing so well together. Either double Armando in the post, and he kicks it out, he makes the right decision lately, or you don't, and he's going to score down there. But Virginia Tech had the same game last night with Notre Dame. Kevin Aluma had, what, 20 points?
Mm-hmm.
When he did not get doubled down there, he scored. When he did, passed the ball, it was usually to Justin Mutz, who had the one more. I think he had 5-6 assists in the game. You know, that defensive dynamic there, can you hold your man one-on-one, is going to be so key in this game. You got to give the nod to Armando Bacot there.
You know, we talk about the bigs with North Carolina, but man, that backcourt's playing great too, right?
Sure.
Caleb Love's been out of sight. I just gave you the stat regarding the assists. When he has 5 assists or more, they're 14-0 this year. R.J. Davis has been terrific as well. 12 turnovers the last two games for North Carolina. Total, 12. When you don't give the other guy the ball, you possess the basketball and maximize it, you can win games. And that's exactly what they've done. These two teams are both hot. I think that, again, you got Duke-Miami, which we'll get to, but the second game tonight, arguably the two hottest teams in the league are getting after it. And it just kind of feels with the Hokies, they're not quite in yet based on all the bubble talk.
Right.
That edge, I mean, you got to figure Virginia Tech's number one title losing to Carolina, and number two, hey, boys, we still have work to do to get in the tournament.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at their tournament experience over last year and then coming into this year, they've kind of struggled with the big athletic teams. I'm really interested to see, are those guards for Virginia Tech going to be able to handle the pressure? I really thought Hubert Davis did a great job in the matchups yesterday. From a guard perspective, I mean, you know, would you expect Leaky Black to be guarding Kihei Clark? Probably not, but Kihei's had to be the facilitator on the offensive end, not just passing the basketball, but getting his own points. He really did a good job of disrupting that offense for Virginia with the length on certain players and kind of keying in on those matchups. It'll be interesting.
Let's pivot if we can here. Duke-Miami. One time, one meeting, the Walinda shot by Charlie Moore. We remember.
Right.
One of the great shots of the year in the ACC.
He's had a few of those.
Yeah. Yes, he has.
Ask Virginia Tech.
No kidding. In some respect, does Miami have an edge here tonight that we're not thinking about in your mind?
I mean, I feel like I've said this most of the season that the pressure is on Duke. You know, you got this whole campaign and this run with Coach K where every single game he's getting a gift and he's getting paraded around. And, you know, you got to sit there as a player and just think about, man, we can't lose this after they've gone out and wined and dined our coach before the game. And, you know, they've answered the call almost every game.
Yeah.
But now I think it's a different level of pressure. It was a different level of pressure in Durham. We saw what happened. Yep. I think it's a different level of pressure here. You saw what happened in the first half against Syracuse. You can't continue to have those kind of slow starts or those rough halves and still win in tournament play. You got to put together a consistent 40 minutes of max effort and max execution.
I asked you if North Carolina can beat Virginia Tech three times. Well, can Miami, is it easy to beat a good team twice? Forget three times, because Miami's looking for the sweep.
Wow. I don't really care how many times you got to put that lineup together, put that matchup together. You know, you don't want to go look at Duke and say, hey, we got to go beat these guys multiple times. Yeah. I think what Jim Larrañaga's done in terms of kind of scheming his way around this thin front court is special this year. Hmm. You know, he didn't get quite as much talk for Coach of the Year as I thought he probably should have. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody talked about, you know, the overachieving Wake Forest. It was 12-13. Miami was that other spot, and where did they finish in the conference? It's really impressive. And again, we think about the big centers and power forwards in this league. They play four guards.
Yeah.
And a very thin 190-pound Anthony Walker, whoever it is, Sam Wardenburg at the five spot, they've done a really good job of getting steals, packing the paint, making it tough to enter post-entry passes, and then getting out on the offensive end in fast breaks.
Look, we're down to eight games at the most left for Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim Larrañaga, Leonard Hamilton, Jim Boeheim now become the senior figures. Tony Bennett is arguably one of those guys. We'll kind of push him. He's not nearly at their age, but we're going
to push him. You don't have to push him. He's already won a national championship. I think he's one of the guys, period.
Jim Larrañaga just got a contract extension.
Yep.
And I know you opened your career playing for him at George Mason. We are seeing one of the really great basketball journeys play out with this guy, who's from the Bronx, who we had on earlier, and then he bang gets a contract extension. What do we not know about Jim Larrañaga from those guys that play for him?
I think that's a great question. His journey is really unique. You know, mm-hmm. You guys probably knew everything that was in the documentary, ACC The Tournament.
Yeah.
It was a history lesson for me in a lot of regards. You know, you think about his ties to Virginia.
Yeah, you see him sitting on the bench. That looked good, didn't it?
Absolutely.
The camel coat.
Good to see young Coach L. It's great that he's gotten back to the ACC and the helm at Miami and done a great job. I kind of talked about this a little bit before we came on, but I think he was so far ahead of his time with just the mental prep side of the game. And I think that comes down to how you approach every practice, but also how you kind of get away from the game, how you refocus. You know, I brought up him going to play baseball in one of the Zoom meetings on the coach's show, and then you see Wooga Poplar as the MVP getting out there and playing some team baseball. I think we did dodgeball, maybe kickball, but you're doing this stuff like before big games, before tournament games, as a way to just get your mind off of it for a minute, have fun with your guys, and realize that you are playing a game. It's serious, but you are playing a game. The mental prep that goes into each and every day, having a specific focus on what you're going to get better at. And then as an X's and O's adjustments coach and how he gets you to believe. He told a great story on Nothing But Net about my sophomore year, won the most games in school history at George Mason. But I remember being in this very tense moment in the tournament. We're locked in, and coach grabs me before the last timeout, before I made it all the way to the huddle, and asked me about what play I want to run. And, you know, as a sophomore, I'm playing with a lot of upperclassmen. Mm-hmm. I said, we're going double high rocket. Just let me make the decision. We get it done against Villanova in that game. But he's that kind of coach who can sense the moment and sense when he needs to lift you up.
Do you think, and he was the first guy I really talked to, he and Chris Caputo, who've been with him a long time.
Long time.
They embraced analytics before a lot of other people embraced analytics, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, was that back in the Mason days where they were diving into efficiencies and all sorts of things?
Unfortunately, that showed that I couldn't play defense. Those analytics. They weren't always good to me, you know? But, they were just ready to adapt.
Okay.
And I think the great coaches, Coach K, for example, over the decades here, has been able to adapt to recruiting changes and the way the game has changed. Again, another shout out to the tournament, but how many rules changes have come from this tournament right here? I mean, you think about the expansion, you think about the shot clock, you think about so many things that it was a great history lesson getting into the tournament. But
One last question for me. We got four teams left here in the ACC tournament.
Oh, boy.
Give me an unsung hero. A lot of times you get into the semis, you get to a championship game. We think about the first team, all ACC guys, Ben Caro, you got Baycott, you got McGusty, Ghetto.
Yep.
But a lot of times somebody emerges. A Luke Hancock emerges, right? You've lived this dream.
Oh, yeah.
On the ultimate level. Give me a name or two that could emerge tonight and tomorrow right here?
Well, you know, tournament time is magical because none of that stuff you did in the regular season matters at all. I mentioned his name earlier, but I think a guy that I've looked at as a huge contributor and a real catalyst for them winning games and getting to this point as the seventh seed is Storm Murphy. He's playing with confidence. He's knocking down shots. He's finding teammates. His defense has been better. And I think as a leader, he's kind of brought some of those guys, especially off the bench, along. Averaging 15 and a half so far in this tournament. And if you're shooting the basketball well, I mean, once your confidence really gets going, you got a team that's really feeling the pressure because they're a lower seed. Late in games, that is special. And that's what takes you to winning championships and stuff like this. And makes me look better. I'm going to say it again.
Oh, there you go. I tell you what, nobody works themselves into a lather before a game like Storm Murphy.
They get after it, don't
Pac,
they?
I'm telling
you. Is
that
dancing or is it warm-up?
I think it's the warm-up. Blacksburg, he comes out and goes through a pregame, and you walk away thinking he's played the game.
Right.
And it's unbelievable.
Pretty similar to what we do on Packer and Dom about 4 a.m. every morning.
Yeah, by the way, Joel Berry passed rookie initiation for nothing but net, you think?
Yeah, he's in now. He's in the club.
We'll I didn't see him carrying the pizza. Right? I didn't see him this morning at 5:15 carrying the pizza.
You guys haven't had pizza for breakfast?
Come on.
Packer and Durham.
We're not offered a slice.
Did not offer the pizza. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Tea time today?
I wish.
Yeah, so do I. All right, when we come back, Mike Young joins us. His team plays tonight. Second game of the semifinals, third meeting of the year with Carolina, and the coach of the Hokies is teed up and ready to go. Next, Packer and Durham from Brooklyn on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
A little Pearl Jam, a little Ferry.
Yeah.
And we're in the Barclays Center. Go figure that one out.
You know what Pearl Jam means? Mike Young, right?
Walk-up music.
Yeah, walk-up music for the head coach of the Hokies as we rejoin you from Barclays Center. Hokies were winners last night, 87-80. They go into the semifinals tonight. They'll meet North Carolina for a third time about 9:30. And Mike Young, of course, is the head coach of Virginia Tech and joins us this morning. You want to start off with the really important questions here?
I do, Coach. First things first, before we get to any basketball, give us a full review of the popcorn here in Brooklyn. Got to get an update.
Not
on
bad
that.
At all. Pack, not bad at all. And I let the good folks at the Barclays Center know that last night they've done a nice job.
All right. I mean, hey, because if the popcorn's not good, granted, I know you guys played here earlier this year, which was part of the message that, hey, let's get used to the building. So you got to make sure the popcorn's good. I know this much, your team is playing its best basketball of the year at the absolute right time.
Our last 40 minutes was very, very good. About 30 minutes Wednesday night against Clemson, and then we looked like the worst coached basketball team in the world. I've got Mr. Steady, Hunter Couture, on the line for three to put it away. Misses all three. Gets the hat trick. We're throwing behind-the-back passes. We look inept. Darius Maddox bailed us out, got a shot down, and we had a chance to get back over here yesterday, and I thought we played a good ball game against a very good Notre Dame team.
Mike, I don't want to say that we're disrespecting your defensive end of the floor, okay, because I think that's the wrong way to put it. What we do find ourselves talking about, though, a lot is what you do offensively. And I started this show today by saying Virginia Tech last night impressed me because when Notre Dame got the ball in the half court for the first time, you guys were there to guard Notre Dame last night in a way that I don't know that I've seen you do. But are we missing what you are defensively because we talk about the shooting and the play of Keve and all these other things?
Wes, it wasn't that long ago, pointed this out to my team on quite a few occasions. We were number 15 in the Atlantic Coast Conference defensively out of 15 teams. And if we were going to right the ship, that part of it had to take a jump forward. And it did, step by step. A couple of weeks later, we were 11. I think we are maybe fifth now. Points per game, defensive field goal percentage, 3-point field goal percentage. I thought we were very, very good last night against what I think is as good an offensive team as there is in our league, a number of guys that can pass, a number of guys that can really shoot the ball. And I thought, to our team's credit, they really got in a defensive stance. A transition defense was on point. And that was the story of the game. We were very good offensively. We got to 87. Aluma was very good, as was Mutz. But our work on the defensive end, got us back here today, Friday, for an opportunity to play again.
Coach, 4 wins, 4 days. That was the goal when you left Blacksburg. To do that, obviously you got to play well, but, man, you got to get help from the bench. I think your bench production has been out of sight so far.
Mark, you're right. Darius Maddox is really come on. As important a, an occurrence that that we've had. He has helped us in the scoring. He's defending much, much better. Just a good basketball player. Gives us a little bit more size at 6'4", 6'5". David Gasson was really good against Clemson on Wednesday. Sean Padula, and he drives me crazy sometimes, but I'll tell you what, you know what you're going to get. And it's going to be, he might make a bad play, but he's going to follow that bad play up with 3 or 4 really good plays. He's not afraid of the moment. He had 13 points last night. His ability to drive the ball, and he does that better than anyone we have. His ability to do that is much needed, and he can put pressure on the defense and spray it around. He's been those three guys have been, quite good for us over here for the long haul.
And coach, from a trust factor, when you get into moments like this of tournament basketball, that's got to really help you and the staff too, knowing that, hey, guess what? Everybody knows they've got to be able to contribute, because you just can't roll out the ball and say, hey, I got my five guys and we're going to try to go win 4 straight days. It just doesn't work that way. It's got to really help you out from a trust factor, like I said, knowing, hey, I can put a guy in there. I know I'm going to get production.
Took me a while to get there, but, it's a long year, and it's been about a month now. 6 weeks ago, I knew that I could insert those guys in the lineup, and they were going to help us win. That'll be a big deal tonight. North Carolina is so big with Armando Leaky Black at the small forward spot. They can just wear on you physically. And I've got to be able to get Aluma off the floor some. I've got to be able to get, others off the floor to hopefully get to the stretch with a shot to win.
I know you got a great staff, and Kevin and Christian and Mike have done a great job for you. How do you process getting ready for a third meeting with Carolina? How much carryover is there in a quick turnaround like this one, Coach?
Quite a bit. It wasn't that long ago, Wes. It was just a couple weeks ago. I think you were there. You get to a point in a year, you are who you are. We're not reinventing anything. We'll do much the same things, as will Coach Davis's team. We have to do it better than we did in Blacksburg a couple of weeks back. Be nice to get a couple of shots down. We didn't shoot the ball particularly well. I thought North Carolina played a really good basketball game. Caleb Love is exceptional. Manning might be the key to their team, guys. His ability to make a shot, and man, is he doing that at a high level. He's a great cutter. He's passing the ball very well. He's a big man. That's to take nothing away from Leaky Black, R.J. Davis, Armando, who we admire greatly.
Yeah.
Coach, it seems like both of you are peaking at the right time. I mentioned the West. These are the two hottest teams in the league. The Heels have won 12 of 14. You've won 11 of 13. And I know that's what you want when you get to March basketball. But I think the anticipation, just from a fan's perspective, is, yeah, Duke-Miami is an interesting game. But I think the second one tonight, the one that you're going to have a front row seat at, just kind of feels like a different game. It's got the feeling of just a really, really high-level basketball game.
And Pack, it's a pleasure to be a part of it. We are playing good basketball. You know, we've had a couple of exceptions where we weren't quite as good, but for a long, long time now, we're connected. We're sharing. We've shot the ball very, very well. Last night was, you know, I thought we were really good again against a very good Notre Dame team. So thrilled to have the opportunity to go back to that that beautiful arena in Brooklyn, New York, with the opportunity to compete against North Carolina tonight at 9:30. I wish it was a little bit early, I'll tell you that, fellas. But the Hokies will be there. We look forward to it.
Hold on a second now. You want to negotiate an earlier tip-off time. You want to give her about 4 and put it in the air? Is that ideal?
That would be just fine with me. See, the two of you can make that work. You got better connections with that network than I do.
Well, I was going to tell you, I hate to break the news to you, I think this first game could go triple overtime.
Oh.
So you better enjoy that 9:30 tip if you get it.
Hey, fellas, that would be my luck. You just watch.
Hey, you know what, though, Coach? It beats sitting on the couch. I know that much. If they told you midnight, you'd say, hey, we'll be there.
31 degrees in Blacksburg right now. I'm thrilled to be in Brooklyn.
Hey, real quick, I know you're a history of the game. You like the game. You like the history of the game. You like the history of your program, too. Can I tell you that the first thing I thought of late the other night was Darius Maddox or Bobby Stevens to win the NIT against Notre Dame? How about that?
I saw Bobby Stevens shot 1973 in my grandmother's living room in Marion, Virginia, and I was front and center for that historic shot from Darius Maddox to get us again, to get us to the next round. Played better basketball yesterday, going to have to play even better tonight.
Yep.
Well, I'll just say one more thing to you. You know, I'm married to a Hokie, and we were watching the Clemson-Virginia Tech game, and my wife jumped off the couch when Maddox made that shot, and I'm telling you what, you made it a really, really happy household. Now, granted, I'm a Clemson guy, but if the wife's happy, everybody's
there
happy, so appreciate that.
You outkicked your coverage, marrying a Virginia Tech lady, Mark. You know that as well as I do.
Amen, brother. No argument from here. Hey, good luck tonight.
Coach Young, thank you, my friend. Good to see you.
Thanks, guys. I wish you well.
All right, you too, sir. You too. Always a blast. Mike Young.
Could be a big-time game
Grandmother's
tonight.
Couch in Marion, Virginia, watching Bobby Stevens beat Digger Phelps.
I'm just telling you, tonight's game,
yeah.
And the Hokies, I'm telling you, they're watching. I know that we didn't get any bubble talk because he's too preoccupied with North Carolina and should be because the Heels have beaten them twice.
Yeah.
But Virginia Tech has a golden opportunity tonight.
See, it's important for Hokie fans to remember your association with Packer and Durham didn't start when you entered the league.
That's right.
Yeah.
No,
exactly. We're here. Right. We're here for the Allen Bristow, the Wally Lancaster, the Quentin Nottinghams, the Frankie Allen teams, the Bimbo Coles. We're here for all that. Del Curry, Charlie Moyer. We're here for all of it. We're also here for David Teal, by the way.
Who's next?
Yeah, he is. When we come back, it's a big, big 9 o'clock hour. David Teal, Jim Larrañaga, and Carlos Boozer. And don't think that we're not going to ask Boozer about Kay firing him up, telling him Dan Gadzurek was a better player than he was. And we're going to get all that. But DT is next on set here at Barclays Center in Brooklyn on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.